I want to welcome everyone here tonight to our worship services here at Macklin Road. If you're visiting with us, we certainly appreciate you being here. This time of year, we always have a number of visitors who come our way, visiting with friends and family. And if that's your case, we certainly hope that you will have a great visit. It's a great time to visit during the holidays, and we wish you safe journeys and safe travels. If you came here tonight expecting to hear Caleb, he had another appointment that he had to attend. It was his wedding this weekend, and he is now on his third day of marriage, second or third day of marriage, so we will give him a bye for that. But if you came here expecting to hear him, he will be back, I believe, next Sunday, and you'll just have to come back to hear Brother Caleb speak. We certainly appreciate Scott Richards for bringing the lesson to us this morning. He is a member here and is also a missionary over in India. It's always great to hear what Scott has to say about the work over in India. We didn't hear much of that today, but certainly he did a great job, and I appreciate him so much. Well, tonight we're going to talk about some unsung heroes that we're going to find in Scripture. And I guess the first thing we need to do is to determine what an unsung hero really is. And I guess probably the easiest way to describe what an unsung hero is someone who works behind the scenes. They don't get much credit or recognition, but they are usually responsible for much of the success that other people take credit for. I want you to let that sink in a minute, and then I'm going to repeat it one more time. An unsung hero is someone who does not get much credit or recognition, but they are responsible for much of the success that other people take credit for. So does anybody here know a person who is an unsung hero? I'm sure all of us can think of someone who has labored in the background. It might be at work. You know, it could be at a government building. It could be at your house. It could be anywhere. It might be a teacher. It might be a coach. Or it might even be a mom or dad, who we would call an unsung hero. Because unsung heroes really come in all different walks of life. They're all around us every day. So tonight I want to point out a few of them, and we'll make application in the short time that we have left tonight for some unsung heroes that we're going to find in our scripture. And the first one we want to turn to is found in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. And we'll look at verses 1 through 6. And I want to start out by reading that and just letting you know that you're probably going to ask a question before I finish reading these verses, but I think it'll be self-explanatory. Just remember that the church had been established in Acts chapter 2, so this was a very new situation in the church coming up. And we want to see what was going on. In those days, in verse 1, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the first group of people that I want to bring to our attention as unsung heroes are the 5 deacons. Now somebody out there has already said, "Wait a minute, we just read 7 names, not 5. But most of us will agree that we know the first two names pretty well. We know who Stephen was, and we know who Philip was. But I ask you real quickly, what are the other five? Who are the other five? I just named them off. Most of us didn't even realize that they were named, if you were like I was. When I read their names, I was like, wow, that may be the first time I've noticed the other five names. But their positions in the early church were just as important as Philip and Stephen, because they allowed the apostles to go out and do what? To go out and preach the word and teach the word. And that was the reason the first century church spread so quickly, is the apostles were able to get out and do the work instead of having to be in the church and doing the what we would consider the mundane works of the church. Do you ever feel like one of those five deacons? Do you ever feel like that nobody knows who you are? You ever feel like you're just in the background, that somebody else is out there in the front getting all the credit and getting all the recognition? You know, coincidentally, we have seven deacons here at Macklin Road. And I think if you talk to any one of those seven deacons, they would tell you that it takes a lot of behind-the-scenes work to make any program that we have here at Macklin Road work. If you just told us it was going to be the responsibility of that one person, and he had to make it work, most of the programs that we have here are not going to go anywhere, because it takes the support of the entire congregation to make any program work here. So I commend everyone to supporting the deacons, and that's really what was happening in the first century. Those seven deacons were responsible for a lot of the work that was getting done in the early church. But you know, society doesn't teach us today that it is cool to be in the background, does it? We live in a me society. And one of the examples that I wanted to bring up here for some of you who might not be so inclined to know about things like this is I brought a selfie stick up here. And this is a selfie stick. Do you know what this is? Some of you looking kind of strangely at it. This is a selfie stick. And what you do is you take out your iPhone or whatever kind of phone you've got, and you attach it up to that selfie stick, and then you go walking along looking at the selfie stick, taking pictures of yourself. And you put it on television or you put it on Facebook or wherever you want to put it. And it shows people a picture of you wherever you go. You know, a whole industry has grown up around selfies. And there's no telling how many of these selfie sticks have been made. And you know, they're so popular now that they're having to ban them in a lot of events. Because can you imagine this being in a stadium and you turning around hitting the person behind you or hitting the person in front of you? That's what's happening. People are getting their eyes poked out, poked in the head with these selfie sticks. So they have become dangerous. So a lot of sporting events won't even let you bring in a selfie stick. Not to mention the many people who have walked off stages and walked off curbs and walked into the street and been seriously injured because they were watching the selfie instead of watching where they were going. So I think that will illustrate that we all live and know we live in a me society. And there's no sugarcoating that. It's me first, and I want to be out front. So this idea of having people in the background doesn't work for us much in our society anymore, because most people don't want to be in the background. We don't want to be in the shadows. We want to be the person that is out front. Well, our second unsung hero can be found also in the book of Acts, and that's over in Acts chapter 15. So if you turn over with me to Acts chapter 15, just a few chapters over, we're going to look at verses 12 through 21. Acts 15, verses 12 through 21. This set of verses discusses a very important meeting that's going to happen in the early church. And again, remember, the church is in its infancy in Acts. And so a lot of things are happening for the first time in the church that we read about in Acts. And it's something that happened here. The most of our kids, if you said Acts chapter 15, would say Jerusalem Council, or the meeting at Jerusalem. And that's exactly what we're going to find that's happening in Acts chapter 15. And what were they coming to discuss? What were they getting together to discuss? Well, the topic at hand was whether we were going to let Gentiles into the church. Now, the verses we just read, they selected the seven deacons because you said you saw the Hebraic Jews and the Grecian Jews were at odds with each other. Remember, it just mentioned Jews. And that's what the early church initially was made up of. It was a Jewish club, basically. You didn't let a lot of people from outside the Jewish religion into it. And that wasn't going to work, because that's not how God had intended for it to work. And so we're having a meeting in Acts chapter 15 to discuss it and discuss what's happening in the Jewish world or the Gentile world. And so I'm going to start reading with verses 12 and following in chapter 15. It says, "The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they had finished, James spoke up. 'Brothers, listen to me. Simon,'" and that's also Peter, "'Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with it, as it is written. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for the ages.'" And then in verse 19 it says, "It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted to idols, from sexual immorality, and the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times, and it is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath." Now, how important was that statement? Well, how important would it be for any influential person to stand up and make a statement in front of the church? But how important on this occasion that we're talking about excluding or including the Gentiles into the brotherhood? It was an extremely important statement. How important is it for one person to speak up? Well, I'm going to give you an example of that. In 1967, most of the South was still segregated. And that included the football team down at the University of Alabama. And a group of five young black men wanted to play football at Alabama. And included in that group was a person by the name of Andrew Purnell. Andrew Purnell wanted to play football. So he and four other young men walked on to play. And in the words of Andrew, they were welcomed into the group, but nobody was very friendly with them. Nobody went out of their way to speak to them. Nobody really paid any attention to them. And then as Andrew Purnell tells this story, there was one person one day before practice even started, before he even had said anything to anybody else, he came walking up to Andrew Purnell and he said, "Hey, Purnelli, how's it going?" And that person was Kenny Stabler. And most of you, if you follow football, you know Kenny Stabler was the quarterback at that time in Alabama, and he was a team captain. And according to Andrew Purnell, that one act of kindness, him walking up and speaking to him before practice even started, broke the ice for the rest of the team. At that point in time, the team treated these guys just like anybody else. And Andrew Purnell goes on to talk about what a big influence that made in his life. So what is the power of one person speaking up and one person saying something like James stood up in the church? It's incalculable. The church would not have grown with the explosive growth, the leaps and bounds that it did in the first century if James hadn't stood up. And of course, he was the brother of Jesus, and he was also the author of the book of James. Well, finally, tonight, in the time we've got left, I just want to mention a couple that we have been discussing on our Sunday morning auditorium class. And we just had a Bible reading by Hudson about these two people. They were Elkanah and Hannah that we find in 1 Samuel. And if you have been in our class, you know that Elkanah and Hannah were the mom and dad of the great prophet Samuel. And how important was Samuel to Jewish history? Samuel was the one who anointed King Saul. He was the one that anointed King David. He really transitioned the nation into a kingdom from just a loose group of tribes into a kingdom. So he was extremely important, and he was a great man of God. In fact, you'll find him mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of faith. And it mentions all the different people in Scripture who were so important. But you won't find Samuel's mom or dad mentioned in those verses in Hebrews 11. You just barely find them anywhere else in Scripture except in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, because they were behind the scenes people. They gave up Samuel when he was just a toddler. They estimate between the ages of 2 and 3 years old. They gave up their firstborn male child to the temple at the time, which was in Shiloh, and they gave that young boy to Eli the priest. And as we've been studying, Eli was down in Shiloh, and he had two evil sons that were down there, and that's where this 2 or 3 year old went to live. Now, can you just imagine how difficult that was for the family to do that? They were behind the scenes people. They were people that were doing what God wanted them to do no matter what. We've got many people here tonight who are unsung heroes here at Macklin Road. And you may be laboring and laboring and laboring. I just want to say to you that there is a special verse in the Bible written for you if you're an unsung hero. And that verse is found over in Galatians 6, verse 9. You're an unsung hero. This verse is for you. It reads like this: "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, there's an old saying that says every person is going to have 15 minutes of fame. I just want to tell you, that's probably not a true statement, because most of us are going to go through our lives and we won't get any fame. You'll never have your name in lights, and you'll never be the star of the football team or the basketball team or however else you envision yourself. But that's okay. That's okay, because you don't have to be the one out front. There's got to be a lot of people supporting that one person out front. And that may be your job. And that may be what you're here on this earth to do. And there may be somebody in this audience tonight that does become famous. And look at all the people in this auditorium that might be responsible for supporting that person or helping that person to reach the level that they've reached. We do not know who around us we're going to influence. So we have to do the best job that we can. Well, the most important decision that any person could make tonight is concerning their eternal salvation. And that's a decision that each one of us has to make. Your parents can't make it for you. Your husband or your wife can't make it for you. Your friends can't make it for you. You're going to make that decision. And when we say it's an eternal decision, That means what it says. It's going to last for eternity. And we have an election coming up, and a lot of people say, well, I don't like either one of the candidates, so I'm just not going to vote. And that's how people look at this decision about eternity. They say, I'm just not going to get involved in religion. But did you know that if you don't make a decision about it, that that decision's already been made for you? Because there's no middle ground. You're either on God's side or you're on the other side. So we talk about making an eternal decision. You need to think about that and make the right choice. If you need to make that decision tonight, we'll help you with that any way we can. We'll baptize you. We'll help you to grow. We'll pray with you tonight if you need us to do that. If there's any way or anything we can do for you, please come tonight as we stand and as we sing.